The Prop Shop.
Yo, Dan, what's up? Oh, man, you look freaking beast. What's up with you?
Oh, man, I'm coming off this huge build, man. I'm exhausted, and the good news slash bad news is I turn around today and start a new one.
Oh, well, you know, at least you're working.
I am working, no doubt about that. Matter of fact, I had Mr. Victor Barreto here for the past 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Just took him to the airport yesterday.
He was hitchhiking to the airport to get out of there, from what I heard as far as what you put him through for the last 2 weeks. And I'm talking sexually, not just, you know, work related.
You have no idea. Yeah, you know, it's good that the human mind often easily forgets, because every time I call him, he's anxious to come, and every time he leaves, he's really anxious to go.
It must be good having him out there, because I know you need the extra set of hands. You've asked me to come out a few times, and my schedule is a little hectic, you know. Putting together this huge production called Hauntcast, it's hard to squeeze anything else into my schedule. You know how it is.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, being a professional prop builder, I don't have time to do it all by myself. And then having to work with other people can present its own challenges. So having someone like Vic or yourself that can come out and give me a hand is invaluable. I mean, just the peace of mind of having somebody around, well, maybe not so much you, but definitely Vic. Having the peace of mind of having somebody around that I know knows what they're doing and can work autonomously is invaluable.
You've wrapped up this project. You're moving on to the next. You know, life as a prop builder out in Vegas must be just like a road paved with gold out there, huh?
Yeah, right.
how has it? I mean, I know this was kind of a dream of yours that you probably didn't think you would ever stumble into. You did stumble into it when you moved out there with your wife. What, you know, do you regret getting into the prop building, the professional prop building business now? Or for other people who have delusions of grandeur as well of doing something like what you're doing, building props for a living, you know, maybe you could regale us with a little Denny story. You know,
talk
to us about your experience.
Come on over, Mr. Chris, and sit on Papa's lap, and let me tell you about
being a pro. You're happy to see me.
Is Scully getting jealous?
He is. We're in a relationship right now, but it's complicated.
So you mentioned regret, and that's a funny word, because it's not regret by which day I'm working, but by the hours of the day. I mean, I start off in the morning, I'm pumped, I'm ready to go, I've had my coffee, I'm out in the shop, it's fantastically moving first thing in the morning, and generally around 2 or 3 o'clock, I get a little bit depressed. But then I have some more coffee, maybe a couple of beers, and by 5 o'clock, I'm rolling again. By 8 o'clock, I'm kind of sad. But by midnight, I feel great. And that's, you know, back when I go back to the beers again, and usually about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm turning the lights off and wandering in the house, wondering what the hell I've done to my life and how did I get here. So it's a really hard question to answer. I mean, the truth of the matter is, it's never boring. It's a ton of fun. I really, really dig it. But getting into the business has been both a blessing and a curse. I mean, you take something that you love and you do it for work, and sometimes it becomes work. You know, it's not fun anymore. And the days of me going into my shop and building something for me, for the most part, those are gone. I mean, I've got deadlines to meet. I've got clients to satisfy. And, and then, you know, the other weird thing is you never really build anything you want to build anymore. I mean, some jobs are cool and they're exciting. You're like, yeah, I can do that. That's going to be fun. But it's not something you would have chosen to do. So that's kind of you know, the intro to all of that. And would I do it again? Yeah, probably. But you know, sometimes I'm not so bright. Is there money in it? Yeah, there's money in it. If you can learn how to bid a job right and manage your time and your money, definitely, you know, you make a great living.
As far as the time and that you're talking about putting in per day, is that just because you're not scheduling your time as efficiently, or is it that, you know, like you don't book it out for the right amount, proper amount of hours, so clients are expecting it a lot sooner than you can actually build it due to the man hours, or people that just impatient, they needed it yesterday, and you've got to just jam to get the project done on their timeline.
So basically what you're asking me is, do I not know what I'm doing, and that's why it's taking me so long?
I don't know. Well, I guess.
It's a combination of stuff. First off, you've got to deal with the client and their timeline. You know, one of the things that I've had to learn, or that I've tried to learn, is when to say no. It's crazy to me. I mean, these clients will plan these events sometimes for 3, 4, 5, 6 months in advance. 3 weeks till the event or the day the project's due, they decide to bring in the prop artist. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at this deal, and I've got 3 weeks to build it. It's probably a 6 or 7 week build. Their budget is generally extremely tight, and so you have a decision to make. You know, can I push through this? Can I get it done? What's it going to take to get it done? What is my time worth? What resources do I have as far as a help? Do I have a stable of artists that I can call on demand? And that takes a little while to develop. Now, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I do have some fantastic artists I can call. I have learned how long things can really take in earth hours, not in your mind hours, because you can sit and say, oh, yeah, that's going to take me about 8 hours to do. Bullshit. That's going to take you 24 hours to do. Take whatever you think times four. And, you know, Bill, understand the value of your time, and you've got to build that in. Don't be afraid to push back on a client's budget or a client's timeline. And if they can't meet that thing, well, maybe it's better that you say no, because, my God, the heartburn, the heartache, the stress, it can be overwhelming at times. It can really push you to the end, to the edge, I guess I should say.
To the edge.
To the edge.
Danny living on the edge.
So we talked about this, you know, in advance of this call, obviously, and I jotted down some notes. I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's some folks out there, some, you know, haunt cast minions that have some sort of delusion of grandeur that they want to do this for a living. And what would it take for them to get in? What are the pros and cons? What are, you know, some nuggets of advice I can throw out there to anybody who's interested in getting into the business? And I guess you could break it into two categories. I mean, you could be strictly Halloween. And there's a lot of competition out there for that. You know, then you're taking something you truly love and you're making it work. And you're probably going to be doing very, very, very repetitive work. So you're doing the same thing day in, day out. I don't know how that would be because I've never done that professionally. But then there's the category of everything else. So all those folks out there that need signs built or, you know, a 12-foot tall Elvis for Vegas or whatever, now you're entering into a world where there's clients who need something that maybe they might pay more than a haunter would pay. And there's a lot of variety, but there's pros and cons with that variety as well. Would you like to hear them?
No.
No?
No, hey, it was good talking to you, Dan.
Yeah, I'm out of here, man. I got deadlines to meet.
Of course I do. Of course I want to hear them.
So I jotted these down in the order I think that they probably matter. Just, you know, in the 16 minutes of show prep that I do, I was able to get these written down. And probably the number one pro to doing the everything else, like I mentioned before, is it's always something new. I mean, you get a variety. You've got, you know, most jobs last from 1 to 3 weeks. So, you know, no matter how bad things get, within 1 to 3 weeks, you're working on something else. So just push through it. The con to that, dude, prototyping is a bitch. She's an unpredictable bitch. You think you got it down. You think you understand. There's always that one thing you overlooked or that one mistake that you make that causes you to have to restart the entire thing. And doing something non-Halloween, everything you do is a prototype. I've never made the same thing twice. So, and you know, that's in years of experience. So there's a dark side to that where while it's exciting, my God, it can become expensive, time consuming, and it's really bad for your liver sometimes, to be honest.
Good. I don't want you lying to me or the listeners. So just be honest all the time.
I kind of am. Doing the variety work is great for those with a short attention span like myself. I mean, I get bored really, really easy. The biggest nightmare for me is doing things again and again and again and again and again. The counter to that would be the deadlines are almost always unrealistic and the stress level is always high. And you're not going to be working an 8-hour day. when you get into the throes of some of these jobs, it's not uncommon for me to work a 16 or 18 hour day. Just ask Vic. Poor guy.
What's been your best experience out there on a project, or, I don't know, people you work with, skills that you've learned, things like that?
Probably the best experience are great clients. And I finally have a handful of really good clients. What I mean by good clients are clients that aren't going to stop by your shop every single day. Those are the worst, because they come in, inevitably the job's only half done and it looks half done, but they can't see the vision. They don't have the experience with the build side. And all of a sudden they're in there trying to make changes. Oh, this has to be higher. And what are you going to do about this? That's the worst. The good experiences come when the clients understand that you do what you do. You've proven to them time and time again that you're not going to miss a deadline. You're going to get it, you know, the job right. And most importantly, you're going to make them look great at the price that you promised. Those are the good experiences. And I work with the folks over at Tanked. ATM is the company that builds the aquariums for Tanked. I finally got them to a place where I enjoy working with them a lot, because while their deadlines are sometimes a bit unrealistic, they're not afraid to break out the checkbook when necessary, and they don't screw with me. They don't ever come by. They don't ever. I might get the obligatory text, "Hey, can you shoot me a picture of what's going on so we can see where we're at with this?" But that's really not. They're not trying to beat me up. They're just trying to understand. Maybe they have a piece they have to build that fits in with my piece or whatever. So that they've been a great client, and that's been a good experience overall. The dark side of that is every time I walk into the facility there's a camera on me now. And not only do I have the pressures of meeting the deadlines and building the props, but now I've got to be an actor. Or, you know, I have to be witty. I have to be cool. I have to comb my freaking hair before I leave the house.
Why? You've never done that for Hauntcast.
Well, hey, do I film Hauntcast in the nude? Another pro to doing a variety of other stuff is you're learning new techniques constantly, which is really, really fun. The con to that is that your learning curve is generally a vertical line. You don't have time to dork around and play around. You better get it right. You better do your research. You better have people you can call to understand. Another advantage to being a professional prop builder is the startup costs are very minimal. Why? Because industry standard is you collect 50% of your job up front, and then you get paid 50% of your job in the rears. Not like you and Scully in the rears, but like in real life. So what that basically means.
Oh, I get that. That was an ass joke, right? Is that I get it. Right.
I know.
You're hilarious. You like okay.
So if it's like, you know, say it's a $5,000 job, before you even turn a screwdriver, you get $2,500 to buy your supplies. So that really eliminates a lot of startup costs. You don't have to have a lot of money in the bank to get it started. The bad side of that is that you better get it right the first time, because it's really difficult to go back to the client for more money. So if you make one of those mistakes, or you do something wrong, or the whole thing comes crashing down, you're going to have to front that, and you're still going to have to meet your deadline and get the prop out on time. Another one, and this is a big one. One of the advantages to being in the prop business is you get to work with other artists. One of the disadvantages of that is you have to work with other artists. I have found the artistic community to be absolutely insufferable 90% of the time, which is why I fly someone like you or Vic out from across the country. Artists have a very, very, unstable at best. They can go from laughing to crying in a second. They always have their own vision regardless of what the client wants. And you've always got to remind them, hey, you're a Xerox machine. This is the client's vision, not yours. So that can be a real challenge. Another great thing is that you get to be creative all day and all night. But the downside to that is creativity doesn't have an on or an off switch. So regardless if you're, you know, quote unquote, in the mood or not, it doesn't matter. You have to get out there. You have to do it. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you don't feel like being creative. Sometimes you don't have the right level of alcohol or caffeine in your system, and you just have to make adjustments.
Okay, in conclusion.
Am I rambling?
We're on a timeline, though. In conclusion.
Advice for the newbies? Is that what you want to hear?
Yeah, sure.
Probably the most important thing is understand the value of your time and your work and bid that accordingly. Bid in your labor hours. Bid in every possible thing. You can't just say, oh, well, they want this, and I could go to the store and buy that for $300. And you know, that way I shouldn't charge more than BS, man. You're being asked to prototype something, and inevitably something is going to go wrong during this process. Understand the value of your art and your work. Bid it at $3,000. Make it real. Another thing is, don't be afraid to push back on deadlines. And sometimes it's better to just say no. As much as it hurts, maybe you need the money. It's much better to not take the job and not get the money than to take the job and fall on your face, because in this business, your reputation is absolutely everything. Here's a big one for me. Know when to scrap everything and start over. I keep a hammer on my workbench. It cracks everybody up. I get to a certain point where I've dorked with something long enough to know that it's not going to work, and it'll take longer for me to fix it and make it better than just to start over. Unfortunately, I don't have it in me to do that, so I'll grab the hammer and I'll beat the shit out of whatever I'm working on so that I have to throw it away and I have to start over. Sounds crazy, but it works.
Hammer time.
Hammer time. You want to piss off an artist? Take a hammer to their work. Trust me on this one.
The little crybabies.
We talked about deadlines a second ago. Never, under any circumstance, miss a deadline. I don't care if you've got to work 24 hours a day. When you hit that deadline and it's right, there's no feeling like it, and it's going to matter to the client. If you're that guy that's 2-3 days late, a week late, you always have an excuse, that crap ain't going to fly, and you will be out of business very fast. And finally, this might be the most critical of all, develop a stable of talented artists that you trust. People that not only can do the work you need them to do, but that you can work around, and that aren't going to miss the deadlines, and they're always there. They've been in the business long enough. If you start getting the low-end, inexpensive artist in, that's the work you're going to get out. You might get lucky once in a while, but the frustration is going to be so much worse than just paying a talented person a little bit more to get in and get it done. And you know, I pay well for good work. I mean, it's not out of my pocket. It's out of the client's pocket, of course. But, that's huge. It's huge. For anybody out there that would like more information or to find out the details of how I put things together or how I market myself or whatever, give me a shout. I'll always love to hear from you. I've got two email addresses. There's the old denhaunt at Yahoo, or the new business email address would be denny or denhaunt at vegasprops.net. And I should have a website up in the next week or so. So take a look at that. You can see some of the work I've been working on recently. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's nice to go out and buy a prop, but it's a hell of a lot more fun to build one. So freaking build something already.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing HauntCast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.